All right, the losing streak hits four for the Padres. This is the Padres Collective presented by Prize Picks. John Schaefer. We got the whole gang, by the way. John Schaefer, Matt Devine, Kevin Acey with you late on this Tuesday evening. Kevin in Chicago, where the clock will strike midnight within the next 30 minutes. We'll be with you for the better part of the next hour. So if you want to weigh in on what's playing out right now with the Padres, who lose in Chicago tonight 9-7, some late home runs, but not enough with the pitching issues. If you want to weigh in, click the dollar sign below the chat box. We'll get to all of the super chats. We will save time for your super chats here this evening. So click the dollar sign below the chat box. No, we'll get to them over the final 20 minutes or so of tonight's show. Also, please do subscribe and smash that like button for us. Man, what a difference 4 days makes, from a series sweep of Atlanta and a Friday night against the Dodgers to what's played out over the last 4 days. So on one hand, they're 500 over this challenging stretch. On the other hand, they've lost four consecutive games, including here tonight in Chicago. So we can take it wherever we want. I mean, it's starting pitching. It's some of the miscues the Padres are making. It's a poor month once again for San Diego. Kevin, you're on site. You've been witnessing this firsthand. What's your reaction to how the first two games of the series against the Cubs have played out? And great seeing you guys.
Well, like, the issue has become the starting pitching. Anything else does not matter if the starting pitching doesn't get better. Ninth time in 13 games, starting pitcher didn't go five innings. It's worse than that. We don't need to get into all the, like, how many times have they gone three and a third, four and a third. J.P. Sears, you felt good after the first outing. He couldn't throw a strike unless it was down the middle, and then it got up into the, the wind tunnel and got hit out. The starting pitching is, and I've been on record here saying that it reminds me of 2021. I'm not saying it's 2021 yet, but honestly, at this point, would be surprised if it's not, unless A.J. Preller can work some magic. So to me, it starts there, even though, of course, there are other things.
Yeah, at least we have a 500 OPS catcher, right? That's awesome. I kind of came to terms today, and I'm not saying the season's over, because you can always, you could always get hot at the right time. But how I'm looking at this a little bit, and how I'm looking at, the upcoming deadline and everything, is it kind of reminds me of, if you've ever been to a casino, right? And let's say you're playing blackjack and you're, have a tough 2 hours, you're down $600. And you look at your buddies, and a couple of your buddies are up or hanging in there, and you're like, man, I should take out some more money. I think I could go up, right? Guys, this just might not be the year. We have Merrill's having a tough year. Tatis obviously just almost matched his home runs in one game. Right. Sometimes in life, man, it might not be the year. So if it's not going to be the year, how do we get better as a team going forward? Because right now, let's be honest, I don't see a team with the worst OPS in baseball and the a bottom 10 starting pitching staff winning a World Series, even if we trade for 15 dudes at the deadline. Like, I don't see that being this team. Could we make the playoffs? Probably. There's a shot. I don't really know how good the NL is outside the top few teams. We could probably make the playoffs. But this doesn't seem like a team I really think we should double down to keep that pun going. So how do we get better? Because I actually do think you could kind of subtract and get a little bit better. There's some guys in that bullpen that, the Wandy Peralta types, Yuki Matsui's having a good season. There's a lot of teams that have terrible, terrible bullpens right now that are in playoff positions. You can get creative. I just don't see this team right now as a team you should double down on. If you don't have – you have one pitcher in Walker Buehler that you're confident can probably get, through six innings against a good team. And in all honesty, Walker's had a good 2 months. Is Walker Buehler really going to be the answer? Cause it's like, I don't know. It's tough.
I think before they, I mean, it's interesting just the, I mean, we see all the opinions. I mean, Kevin writes about it and then we read about it and then we see what people are saying. I think here's the thing. I think without being aggressive, the starting pitching could resemble 2021 in the second half. Like, they're going to have to do something about it to prevent the wheels from fully falling off. Like, I don't just think you can throw out this rotation each fifth day and say, well, they'll just figure it out and they're going to improve. I don't think that is the case. With that being said, what I also don't think is the case is that they'll be selling off parts. I I don't. I think both things are true. I think you can address starting pitching to some extent. They're not winning the World Series. I mean, barring something unforeseen, I mean, I hate to put it that bluntly, but at the halfway point here, as the calendar flips to July, winning the World Series, I mean, it's a pipe dream, obviously, but that's for most teams also in the sport. You never know if you get into the postseason. But I still think you vie for a postseason spot. How do you do that? You're not selling off parts. I'd be surprised if they did unless the wheels completely fell off. And you have to address starting pitching. And you can do it in a number of ways that doesn't involve going out and trying to go get Tarek Skubal. So, yeah, I think they can't just let this play out for the next 80 games and assume it's going to get better. We saw that experiment, and it didn't work 5 years ago. They have to address it. But there's significant concerns, obviously, Kevin. They have real concerns. I think some can be addressed. I think there's a couple of leaps here. It's like, yeah, the World Series is like such an extreme, but reaching the postseason in a postseason that includes 12 teams is still obviously attainable. Is where are they? A game out of a postseason spot right now with 80 games to play.
If they make the postseason, it's because they improved their starting pitching. And then how can any of us say what they're going to do in the postseason?
Sure.
Right?
Nobody knows.
Their offense is good enough right now. It's not great. It should be better. Jackson Merrill's terrible. Needs to be better. You know, there's, I can go down the list almost and say these guys need to be better, but their offense is good enough right now at this rate that they've been for 3+ weeks now, but the starting pitching. So if they make the postseason, it's because they improved the starting pitching. And then what are we talking about? Of course the World Series isn't a pipe dream. Look, Matt, I like your creativity, man. If things go bad, like let's say this offense of the last 3 weeks, the middling offense is a mirage and they go back to sucking and now they're 10 games under. I like the way you're thinking about like for the future. What I don't think is possible, and I mean, maybe I'm wrong since you're a fan and you're saying that you would be for it, is I don't see how the Padres, who if they have a shot, if it can be considered that they have a shot, let's say they are what they are right now, 2 to 8 games above 500. We all kind of think, they're not that good, but they have a shot. I don't see how you punt on a year of Xander Bogaerts. And say what you will about Xander Bogaerts, guys, it ain't going to get better. I don't see how you punt on a year in which you have a chance. And you don't know that Adrian Morahone's coming back. But I like your creativity. You could get something for Walker Buehler, man. If you're going to suck, what you need to hope is that Walker Buehler continues to be good, because you could get something for Walker Buehler.
I mean, I'm not trying to sound like a doomer, but watching this team, you're like, they are a bad starting rotation. And over the course of the season, they've been a bad offense. So the only real bright spot of this team is we have a couple really great relievers. And I don't mean that. And Manny's starting to hit better and Toddy's starting to hit better, which is great to see. I love seeing that. And hopefully they continue and the rest of the season, they can ball out and the offense performs well. I just don't know, just realistically. And like I mentioned, I'm not trying to be negative Matt or anything, but it's like, what are you not going to get at the deadline with a farm system that we have? And that's decent starting pitching. That's the most valuable thing in all of baseball. There's not going to be a lot of teams that are going to be like, oh yeah, AJ, here's a 26-year-old with 3 years of control that can start a playoff game for you. You're going to get Brian Hoeing types most likely, and you're going to pray that one of them can have a decent month. That's with the farm system we have. That's just what it is. We're going to have to pray that Griffin Canning figures it out. We're going to have to pray that, you know, the phantom IL that Lucas Giolito can magically give him 3 more miles per hour and Michael King can learn how to throw a strike. That's all we can do, because I understand the not punting, but please, please do not double down. Right.
Don't give up the 19-year-old catcher with back problems.
Well, hey man, if I have to watch a Freddie Fermin type character for the rest of my life play catcher for the San Diego Padres, I really am gonna have guys, I'm just begging for why can't we just have, I'm trying to think of a decent MLB catcher that's like been a guy, like, you know what I would do for Brian McCann? Like, obviously, he was a great player, but if Ethan Salas becomes Brian McCann, I will be the happiest human being on earth every single day. I will wake up with the biggest smile on my face. If I have to see a platoon of Freddie Fermin, Rodolfo Duran, just the who's who's of 500 OPSs for the rest of my life, I'm going to just be like, guys, it's I want to just say this, and I'll stop after this, and I'll let John cook. Let's really look at this team, man. Like, let's really look at the starting rotation in the lineup. The starting rotation, I think Michael King has great stuff, but Michael King has 40 walks this season and 83 innings pitched. That's bad. He lost us that game against the Dodgers. He couldn't find the zone. That was awful. He played, like, I can't trust him in a big game, to be completely honest, unless we're playing the Braves on ESPN. That's the only time I can trust him in a big game. Walker Buehler, awesome story. Is Walker Buehler going to give us five good starts in the playoff series or in the playoffs? Maybe. And maybe he ends up being the best one-hit wonder of a pitcher of all time. But he's a gamer. He's someone that I would trade 100%. Anyone of value that's on a one-year deal, Ty France, any of these guys, ship them out. Get us something back. Because no disrespect to Jace Bowen. If Jace Bowen's a prospect coming up, you're in trouble. Duke can hit.
Here's the thing. And at the end of the season, you might say that, hey, told you, the Padres had an historically bad month offensively. That's it. That's why they're last. You keep looking at this OPS for the season. That's why they're last. They had great, not great. They had a top 10 in every metric, including runs per game, 3 weeks in April. And they've had a decent 3 weeks now. So you to say like they have the 30th ranked offense and there's no way they're making the playoffs, it's like, well, yeah, if they have the 30th ranked offense going forward. But like this offense that they're showing now for 3 weeks is good enough for them to go to the postseason. The problem with their team is the starting rotation. That's it. End of question, end of story, end of podcast. The starting rotation is the problem. Can you fix it? If not, let's go home.
Here's the one other issue. They have one other glaring, massive, black hole, remarkable issue. It is their miscues, their mental inabilities that are playing out in real time is very damning. From last night, there's six or eight examples. All right, it's one game. To an extra base in a first inning today when Tatis throws the ball over a railing and the next pitch is singled up the middle and a run scores. It's the ABS issue that has followed this team for 3 months, their inability to decipher the strike zone both offensively and with their catchers. It's like their identity, which was established under Mike Schilt, not putting this all on Craig Stammen, but like blame has to be cast in this example. The identity of Mike Schilt's teams that was very recognizable, whether we loved it or not, and I think a lot of people now appreciate it more in retrospect than they did in real time, they don't look like that same disciplined bunch that we saw by and large in 24 and 25, the small ball. By the way, Schilt, I thought to his credit, was typically one batter ahead as opposed to behind with his bullpen. We could get into Mason Miller last night. I get it. It's with hindsight. But this is a constant theme that has played out this year that goes beyond, yes, their offense hasn't been great. Yes, their starting pitching is lacking. But on the margins, where they have to be good because they're not good enough, they've been beat there all too often, in my opinion. And is that going to change? Because halfway through a season, this is something that's been consistently an issue, I would say, for the Padres in 2026.
I think you're spot on, and I think you're overstating it. How about that?
Like, is it the black hole glaring remark?
I think that you're looking at the Padres because you watch them every night and not realizing other teams are struggling to figure out this ABS thing.
Could be fair.
That said, that doesn't mean the Padres shouldn't be better. So do you know what I mean? The Padres should be better. Manny has made some unbelievably bad decisions, right? Xander made a bad one tonight that he was, by the way, like a freckle away from being right. But no, it was a bad choice, even if he was right. Even if he was correct, it was a bad choice by him. So, like, their catcher's actually been pretty decent. If you look at the metrics in terms of challengeable pitches, like I forget how StatCast puts it, they're like 20th or whatever. They're bad, but it's like, are they the worst? Are they as good as the good teams? That's where I'll say that you're spot on. They are not as good as the good teams. They are not winning on the margins. I couldn't stand Mike Schilt. And I said, even at the time, that didn't matter a hill of beans because Mike Schilt was a magnificent manager who wore his coaches and to a certain extent his players into the ground practicing the little things. But look how it turned out. So they are missing that. That is showing up, absolutely. And that could have made the difference and they could be 5 or 6 games over. Because with that, I mean, if you're thinking it's a difference between 10 games, that's crazy talk. But yes, it has cost them.
I'm going to touch a little bit on the ABS. And I'm going to do it in a way that is respectful. And obviously, I'm not going to curse or do anything that is, you know, a bad look. Because trust me, I really wish there's moments today and moments yesterday of just really dumb baseball. So the one that I'm going to talk about is our $225 million man with the 650 OPS and the 230 batting average, Xander Bogaerts, who just looks older and older by the day and just isn't really good.
He's reached base 50% of the time he's been on the plate the last 8 games. You're 8 days late on saying that about him, but go ahead.
$225 million, Kev. He's bad.
Yes, but
hey, I'm telling you, I see it with my eyes. I'm glad he gets on base. He's not it.
What I just said didn't say he's worth $225 million.
You can't.
Come on, older by the day.
You can't. It's not his fault. He got the contract. It's not his fault. I would have signed that too, knowing what was about to happen. My issue is this, Craig Stammen. You watch Xander Bogaerts in the 5th inning or 4th inning, you're down 5-3. You have one challenge left because Freddie made a dumb call on a challenge because that's what Freddie does. Xander Bogaerts, it's a 3-0 count. There's no outs in the 4th inning. Guys, this is basic. I'm not even talking baseball. This is basic understanding what math is. So you have one valuable asset, right? You're down 2 runs. It is no outs. It's a 3-0 count. The value of using a challenge there, even if you are correct, is almost zero. If you are a $280 million player facing Matt Boyd, who's throwing meatballs, and you're using a challenge there, you are an idiot. You are dumb as rocks, Xander. That is the dumbest thing I've seen him do as a Padre. It's not even remotely close. If you're Craig Stammen and you're going to allow that, you need to look yourself in the mirror, Craig, and sit these guys down and teach them basic arithmetic. Hey, don't use a challenge until the 7th inning. How about we start that, honestly? Because guess what? Some of these challenges, losing your challenges in the 4th inning because of the dumbest, it's mind-boggling how dumb some of these challenges are. And like I said, I'm not going to curse. I'm not going to say anything. But it's basic human instinct. Understand how to be competitive. You have a valuable asset and you're going to just let it go. Hey, maybe we come back and score 2 in that inning. And then in the 7th or 8th inning, Adrian Morejon has a ball on the, you know, just a bit inside and the ump calls it a ball on a 3-2 to PCA. And then PCA walks and we lose that game. Well, I'm glad Xander used it when we were down 2 in the 4th inning with no outs on a 3-0 count. Just dumb baseball. I don't know who needs to be held accountable, but someone needs to. This happens way too often with this team. Just not smart baseball. If you're not going to be a good baseball team, which they haven't been, you have to be smart. You have to play the right way. And they're just not doing that. And it really pisses me off.
Can we go back? I have to that point a little bit. And I want Kevin. I don't know Kevin's reaction or thoughts on this. I know Matt's busy tweeted about it, and I agree. Last night's decision, and again, it's easy for me to say this, and they didn't win the game. But last night, and they could have won the game prior to the 9th inning. They had so many opportunities they didn't take advantage of, so it was there for the taking for Chicago. I don't understand Jason Adams starting the 9th inning. But, John, their bullpen's taxed, and their starter's only going 4 innings, and there's only so much available behind Mason Miller. But why on earth are they managing for a 10th inning in the 9th inning? That makes no sense to me. Jason Adam did not pitch poorly to start the 9th inning. There was the Manny play at 3rd. There was a softly hit ball to center, I think, and was 1st and 2nd. If nothing else, how does Adam even get a 2nd batter in the 9th inning? If you're willing to go to Mason Miller in the 9th inning, why don't you just go to Mason Miller in the 9th inning? That, to me, it's very hard to defend from my seat, so I'm curious to get your reaction.
There's the question that even makes it a question for me is if you're willing to go to him, then why didn't you start the ninth with him? But like you said, and I have a, you get to that point and it's like, okay, they lost other ways, but that could have made a difference.
Sure.
But he's thinking, Craig Stemmen is thinking about what they don't have left and what is he going to do? Because it's a tie game. So he's playing for a tie at that point, right? Or Mason's going to go more than one inning, which he's not going to do, but he could have gone an inning and a third. And like, look, Manny missed a play that he makes 99 out of 100 times, right? With fair or not, like we expect, and that's a part of, especially if you're going to hit 188, that's a part of what you should be paying for there. You know, Manny messed it up. And then there was a soft hit. I understand the questioning. I don't know that it's like inexcusable. I didn't see your tweet, Matt.
I didn't say inexcusable. I just said, I don't understand why you trade Leo Dallas DeVries and all of these things for this, you know, wonder, you know, incredible, unhittable reliever. And he doesn't pitch for 6 days. And then you put Jason Adam back out. It's like then, Jason Adam's never been a two inning reliever.
So I forget how many pitches he threw in the first and they're having to do this really comes back to the starting pitching. And
I agree.
And all that, but also like the Cubs jumped all over Mason Miller. Now I realize that last pitch could have been an out in any other ballpark, but we're not in any other ballpark. The Cubs jumped on his slider. Like, I didn't see that as the pivotal thing that, and maybe I'm wrong, because a lot of people did see that as extremely pivotal.
I think it's really simple why we lost that game. We had 11 hits and scored 2 runs. Guys, it's just like, that was a terrible, hey, honestly, I'm way happier with today's game than I was with yesterday's game. We should have won yesterday's game. This game, if you give up 9 runs and JP Sears and Ron Marinaccio are throwing batting practice, you're probably going to lose. They're like straight up. Like it's hard to win those games when you give up 9 runs, right? And they battled today, to be completely honest. I was very outside the challenges. Today was fine. JP Sears is not a Major League Baseball quality pitcher, at least for a team that's trying to win baseball games. No disrespect to JP Sears. Hope he's seems like a nice enough guy. No mas. No mas, baby. No mas. Trade him. Do whatever you need to do. No thank you. Appreciate that one fluke game against the Braves. We've seen enough. The biggest issue was last night's game. Jackson Merrill, hey, man, if you're going to struggle at the dish, you better lay a bunt down when you have the opportunity. Like, the issue, and I think why a lot of people really are getting angry at this team, is if you're not going to be a team that mashes or pitches well, you have to play really smart baseball. And I don't necessarily think the team plays smart baseball. I don't think they mash, and they don't really pitch well outside, you know, a couple decent starts here and there. We're 29th in quality starts as a rotation. That's terrible. Kevin, you mentioned it. 9 of 13 games where the pitcher doesn't get out of the fifth inning. That's terrible. Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I watch these games with my two eyes, just like you both do, just like everybody in the chat does. There's no way anyone could look me in the eyes and tell me this is a good baseball team right now. Can they be good? Possibly. If something happens and the lineup's starting to hit a little better, if we somehow trade for 3 quality arms in our rotation that always works at the deadline, we'll be a decent team. But right now, with the 2 eyes that I see and the 3 hours I spend every day watching this team, and if you ask the team, the real ones on the team, they know this isn't it.
I mean, I had Kevin yesterday on the radio, and you know, I think what's happening a lot, I go back to, like, you're right. There was a moment in the Dodger game, for example, on Sunday where Rodolfo Duran doesn't challenge a pitch, which, by the way, I mean, in real time is a tough pitch to challenge. Like, so the bad pitch completely missed the zone. He didn't frame it well. He wasn't positioned well for him to think it was a strike. He took accountability to his credit after the game. But it's like what I think is happening a lot is there's a lot of these moments that you wish you had back. And we're like, well, we never know what would have happened if they just executed this properly. And Kevin made a really good point yesterday on the radio, which is like, the game within the game is there's 6, 8, 10, 12 moments that people aren't necessarily recognizing where a breaking pitch is located, way someone is playing defensively in terms of how they're hedging or shading someone. Like, there's all kinds of things that happen over the course of a game, and it's these 1, 2, 3 instances that ultimately determine the outcomes that we may or may not be fully aware of as we're watching it in real time. The issue for me is, a lot of it now is glaring. Like, you're seeing it on TV. It's being discussed. It's immediately on social media. And then what happens is like, well, maybe that was the issue. Maybe that caused them. It's just, there's so many of these instances that are glaring that, again, go back to the margins conversation, which, again, you can't be perfect. Kevin makes a really good point. I'm not watching the other 29 teams with the same routine as I am watching the San Diego Padres. No one's perfect in these areas, and I'm not asking them to be either. But it does feel like there's these moments that pop up. You're like, interesting. It came down to this, or it came down to that. And it feels like, and maybe it's just recency bias, but they had that 8-17 stretch. Now they've lost four straight. It just feels like a lot of this stuff has worked to their disadvantage over the last, 40 plus days.
And that was not the case during the 90 and the 93 win season, where you, a lot of times,
that's a good point,
where you weren't doing that. You weren't, because let's say it's 50-50 in terms of these moments that you're talking about. Well, that's a pretty big deal. That's a pretty big deal. I think that we're all sort of learning the ABS thing. That's all I'm saying about the ABS.
Yeah.
Look, Matt, I've been writing the last couple of days. This season's over if the starting pitching doesn't get fixed. And the current guys,
That's kind of my issue. It's like, how are they going to fix it?
But I can't. I, as the guy who does have, is it 78, 77 games left to cover?
Yeah.
I, as the guy who have lived through them being five games under for 3 months in 2022 and then getting to the NLCS, who's lived through them having six homers and getting swept. It's six homers in the first 3 months, getting swept by the Cubs and the Angels, and then making the playoffs and winning 93 games. I lived through last year and however many games under they were for a couple months. I just can't go to the end and go, this thing is over. I will say this is over. It's pretty. I'm not a fan, so I can't just make statements. So if I make a statement like this, I feel like I'm making a pretty big statement.
Yeah.
If this starting pitching is not significantly better, I don't care if Manny hits 70 homers. The season is over. I don't care if Merrill hits 800 the rest of the way. The season is over. That's how bad it is. It might sound like an obvious statement. I'm just saying, you could not come up with a scenario to me that outweighs how bad this starting pitching is.
Real quick before Matt chimes in, we should remember, in 2024, they were 50-50, a worse winning percentage, and later in the season than today. They went on a historic run. I think they closed 43-19, the best 62-game stretch in the history of the franchise. But yeah, there's differences, but that's the part where it is hard to discount. 78 games is so many freaking games. It could go either way. They could go in the tank, or they could play well enough somehow. Maybe that's a mirage, or maybe that's wishful, but they were 50-50 in 2024.
I'm big on perspective. I think there have been 22 teams since 2026 that have been as bad as the Padres have been over the last 37 games, and then those 22 teams went on to win at least 87 games. And I think 87 games get you in the playoffs. So what I'm saying is this does not disqualify them, this bad stretch. However, the things that are happening, namely the starting pitching in this stretch, they're not promising. In 2024, when they were 50-50, if we were doing a podcast, we would have been talking about some promising things that were happening at that time. I love the context. I'm huge on context, but it's the starting pitching that is, is the only thing you should be hopeless about right now.
Yeah. I would love to say there's an answer. Hey, Kev, I completely agree. The starting pitching is the issue. Right now, let's look at our starting pitching. Michael King, who statistically doesn't look bad. He's a 3.5 ERA. I think Michael King is a good Major League Baseball pitcher who has not been nearly as accurate as he needs to be for how much he's getting paid. I don't trust him necessarily in a big game, just personally, because he just walks too many guys. You can't give up free bases. I think his stuff's nasty. And then we'll go Walker Buehler, who's been a great story. Love Walker Buehler. Then it goes down a cliff, dude. Really bad. You got Randy V, who underlying metrics always come back to bite sooner than later. He had a great year last year. Underlying metrics under the hood was bad. This year, first half of the season, You know, overall stats don't look terrible, terrible. It's starting to unravel a little bit with Randy B. Griffin Canning, 7 ERA. JP Sears, Lucas Giolito. We're just naming names. It's like naming guys that I went to college with, right? It's like I can name John McAllister, Joe Lynch. I can just start naming names. It's like, who cares? Like, I'm just naming names. None of these guys are going to do anything for us. Like, realistically. So how do you fix this? In my opinion, and I hate to say it, I think this season, it's unfixable. And so instead of going and trying to get extremely creative at the deadline, if Preller feels... My biggest concern is Preller's going to try to make a move so he could keep his job and so the ownership and everybody's going to be excited. And we're just going to get even more into a hole, right? That's my biggest concern because I don't think we're going to get what we need at the deadline, which is three quality starting pitchers, another reliever, and a guy that can hit some homers with the worst quote-unquote farm system in baseball. I just don't think you're going to get that. So why don't we just ride it out with our guys, maybe try to get one or two more arms and, you know, don't trade the entire farm system for some BS. And like, let's go into next season and try to figure something out or maybe use Jose E. Feliciano if he ends up being the owner's money and get some real quality arms back, right? Like, I would love that because right now, like, imagine if we had Seth Lugo and Michael Walker. Like, those are the type of guys where you're like, man, we need to find more of those dudes. Unfortunately, this season, Walker was a great pickup. Doesn't seem like the other guys are going to really work out. And the fact that Joe Musgrove is never going to pitch again and Nick Pivette is out for the season probably. Like, let's be honest. We haven't heard anything about it. Sooner than later, Padres always do this. They're never actually – I would love to see them back. Until I see it,
I don't know. Nick's going off a mound.
Okay. Okay. I can throw off a mound. I don't want to be pitching for the pie.
All right. Here's
what's
let's
he
see
supposed
this.
To be doing? You were nailing it till then. And it's like you just stuck on
the There's always something.
I know, I get it. I hand up.
Let's
like, I get the skepticism, but for God's sake, like when you're coming back from an injury, like what else are you supposed to
stop
say?
Except, hey, they're hurt.
I did this step. He's thrown off.
Let's talk about the rotation.
What we need to do, but it's too late.
Let's talk about the rotation
that,
in a moment.
Now that could be a point. It might be too late.
The thing is, let's talk about it in a moment, but let's get to our friends at Prize Picks and how we do that is a good question. Let's do it right now. Let's put a lineup together for Prize Picks. Use our promo code HMA and play $5, get $50 instantly in lineups. This is Padres Cubs game 3, 11:20 a.m. Pacific on Wednesday. Padres trying to avoid a sweep. Which would be beneficial since they're going to Dodger Stadium for a four-game series against the LA Dodgers. And they've already lost two home series, obviously, to LA. We're going to bet. We're doubling down on Walker Buehler, guys, right?
He's going to have a good day.
It's going to be 95 degrees. The wind will probably be blowing it again. But, yeah, Walker's the kind of guy who could, you know, say, screw it.
Yeah, he's a gamer.
We'll take the more than – We'll take the more than 4.5 strikeouts. If it's going to be another one of those days where it's warm and it's wriggly and the wind's blowing a little bit, let's take a look at this home run column. What do you guys think? I mean, Manny, Toddy.
I won my Prize Picks today. Won a little $10 to win $75 on Manny and Alex Bregman hitting homers. So, hey, Manny's been in the ball. Hey, yeah. If you look at Manny and Tatis, Kevin, I'm not always negative. Last month of baseball, Manny and Tatis have been playing some good ball. Love to see it.
I would still argue that Manny needs to get some more hits. I would still argue that. But
yeah.
What's his name? He's Joey Gallo.
That's not what you're looking for, unfortunately. All right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to flex this play, which is Walker Buehler more than 4.5 strikeouts. Manny and Bregman homering, which is what Matt played, and that was the winner. We're gonna play that. We only got to get 2 out of 3 right to win, and we can still turn $10 into $240 by flexing that. So let's get that in. Submit that lineup, and again, you can do the same thing. That's how simple and easy it is, by the way. It takes 30 seconds. Use promo code HMA. Play $5, get $50 instantly in lineups. Just click that link in the description down below. All right, let's get. Oh gosh, hold on. There's always something. There we are. All right. Again, we're going to get to all your super chats, by the way. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. We'll get to them in about 5 or 10 minutes. Please do subscribe to the channel, by the way. We've got weekly Padres coverage for you. Can we agree here that it's not as awful as it's been, and it wasn't as good as 19-9, and the odds still suggest that we will be sitting here on the 15th day of September with the Padres within a game and a half of a playoff spot? That's how
no,
I feel.
We can't agree on that.
I can't agree.
We can't agree on that.
I love that about this, though. Like, I'm more on Matt's side on that one. That I'm not saying it's not possible. I mean, I absolutely think it is. So that's probably where Matt and I differ. But, like, I think it is as bad as it's been because of the starting rotation. Sorry, I can't get off that. But it definitely wasn't as good as 19-9. They could be where you're saying, John, but I don't – I mean, I ain't prize picking it.
So I saw a comment right now. At least something I saw this morning, we're at like a 22% shot to make the playoffs. I mean, I get it, right? Like, hey, like right now, it's giving me a lot more 2021 energy than I would like, man. And I don't know. It's not like we got guys coming back. It's not like Musgrove and Nick are doing starts in El Paso and San Antonio right now. It's like, let's be honest. We're praying for a mid-season resurgence from some guys that haven't really shown us that this season. I think Michael King and Walker Buehler can hang in there. After that, I don't really know. It's kind of just praying each and every night. You're like, hopefully this guy can give me four. I said Griffin had a good start yesterday. I got grief for it. I'm just not used to seeing anyone outside Walker throw four innings and actually leave with the game being, you know, intact. That's how rare it's been, right? It wasn't a good start. Like, four innings, you're a starting pitcher. You should be giving us more than that. I think the biggest concern, like you mentioned, Kevin, is like, hey, like, I don't know if this rotation can stand, let alone, God forbid, another guy goes down. Like, it's over.
Oh, look, at this point, not only is this rotation not good enough to get him to the playoffs, this rotation isn't good enough to get him to the end of the season.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
like, you know, you might need Vince Velasquez and Jake Arrieta.
I still got I got a couple bullets left, Kevin. You got to let AJ know, man.
But we're also
– too bad Stammen can't get out there and throw some more bullpen games.
I honestly could see Stammen giving us four innings right now.
But we're operating under an assumption that no moves can be made to improve their rotation. I mean,
because they have the worst minor league system. But
yeah, but you know what? They didn't have a good system last year, and they
that's
still
what my point would be is yeah.
They've always been able to produce with their system.
They don't have Leo DeVries to go this year, but they give away an entire draft like they did last year for Laureano and
Ryan O'Hearn. That one really worked out. Right,
yeah. So like
that was a great trade.
When I hear about the worst system or whatever, I'm like, what was their system in 2024 when they improved the bullpen enough to, you know, win 93 games? Like, AJ Preller will find a way to make something. I think when you talk about not making a mistake, like giving away the farm, you're basically talking about Salas and Schoolcraft, right? Like, you don't want them to be traded.
Yeah, I mean, I think Schoolcraft
you think it's hopeless. Okay. Well, you're talking about Salas then, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I just want to keep Ethan Salas for another summer. And maybe he sucks, but it's like, guys, like, I just am so, like, especially because he plays a premium position and he's already defensively there and he seems like a smart guy. It'd be nice to have a homegrown catcher. And maybe he doesn't end up being anything. But if we trade him for, you know, a season and a half of, I don't know, like Joe Ryan, and we miss the playoffs and then there's a lockout next year, okay. Like, look at Ryan O'Hearn and, you know, the Ramon Laureano trade, right? Mm-hmm. I thought it was, hey, more power to it. But you're already starting to see, and I know, don't talk about prospects. There's still prospects, everything. If you look at who we traded them, there's actually a couple guys in there now that are starting to make a little bit of noise in that farm system. Ramon's out for the season, and Ryan O'Hearn's hitting 25 home runs for the Pittsburgh Pirates before the All-Star break. So my issue is that I feel like it's kind of a Groundhog's Day, and I hate saying that, but I feel like every there's been a few times where you want to go all in, right? But are we going to be on Padres Collective next year if there is a season saying, man, we should? I know we can't pitch again, but maybe if we go and we trade whatever guy we draft next month, that's left-handed prep arm from Massachusetts that is throwing 98 but can't throw a curveball for Logan Webb, maybe that will get us to the playoffs. It's like, guys, I just don't know if it's smart to continue to do the same thing every single year. Like, maybe we should switch it up a little bit.
Yeah, well, the opposite. Here's my issue with selling, just real quick. Like, let's say, of course, if it's so indicative of if you have to sell, you sell. I mean, they're obviously that they understand the dynamics of play. Jay Prohler's not foolish. If they fall 8 games under 500, they're 8 games under 500. And if they're 8 games over 500, it's a different scenario. I still think even like a full sale at the deadline doesn't produce the return that some people would think that it would. Because I don't think they have a lot of sellable parts of value. I really don't. I think everything's a rental. I think your returns are very arguable in that. Like, the relievers you sell off are mid-tier prospects. Walker Buehler is a rental. He's a great story. You're not getting a lot. What's that?
More home could get you a lot for a reliever.
Yeah, for a rental. Yeah. You can get a top 50 prospect for Adrian Morejon. I swear to God.
But it's the same conversation. It's like, okay, so you get a top 50 prospect for Adrian Morejon and he spends the next season and a half in single A or double A. Like, great. But I mean, I'm not overly concerned about the second half of 2028 right now either. You know,
I say you trade, if you're 8 games under, you trade Morejon and then sign him back.
Yeah. Well, also, my whole thing is, isn't AJ Preller's whole bit like he's this insane scout? Okay. He's definitely not great at giving out contracts. So why don't we see him find me some underrated prospects in other people's farms. This isn't probably the team. So you could trade Adrian Morejon, Wandy Peralta, Jason Adam. You could trade Ty France, Walker Buehler. There's some real guys, especially if you package them. If you're AJ Preller and you pride yourself on being this scout, find me a left field prospect with some control, man. Find me something that can come up next season and bring some life to this team. I love Samad Taylor. I would love Samad Taylor to be on the team next year. Samad Taylor's probably not going to be the answer, you know, for the next 6 years. Let's find some dudes that can be parts of this team, key parts. Why did we love Jackson Merrill when he came up? 2024. Homegrown guy, bring some energy. We're like, dude, this is sick. This is fun. Like, new life. This is awesome. Ethan Salas next year. Hopefully he stays healthy. His back is in a degenerative back problem. Hopefully he comes up and has some fun. And we got, you know, Ethan Salas coming up, and we trade some guys at this deadline, and we have a left fielder or pitching prospect that comes up. When was the last pitching prospect that came up through the Padres farm system that we were truly excited for? Chris Paddock?
Maybe.
That's a long time, guys.
I mean, Adrian Morejon. Long
time. Adrian Morejon? Okay. Valid. So that's a long time.
Yeah. It's,
all I'm saying is, I think we missed our window to an extent. And the way to continue to grow that window is by selling off a few of these pieces that aren't probably going to come back next season. And let's go in to the offseason and sign some dudes. New owner, hopefully, make some smart moves. All I'm saying is, watching this team night in, night out, I don't think this is the team, but you could be smart and still probably make the playoffs. There's a real shot that, hey, You trade Morejon, you trade Jason Adam, you trade some guys. If Manny and these dudes start hitting, and let's say, you know, Pivetta comes back, maybe you could still make the playoffs and you get some talent back, some controllable talent.
Wait, I thought we were just saying,
you trade Morejon and Adam, those guys better start hitting a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, we were just saying they can't make the postseason with the rotation. They're going to trade away Adrian Morejon and Jason Adam and all of a sudden make the postseason. I mean, that's,
I don't know. Maybe
I'm not saying
hit,
the point is entirely invalid, but like, yeah, let's be, yeah, yeah, let's.
All right, let's get to some of this.
I think there's valuable pieces. And if AJ's whole, you know, like calling card is that he's this incredible scout, why don't we see that?
Well, now what you might have is that he's this incredible scout who then makes trades that don't work out. Or, and I'm not saying that that's the case. That might be it.
Like, well, look at Eric Johnson and Tatis for James Shields. Like, he's made some great trades. So it's like, I'm not saying he's going to hit on a Tatis type trade, but there's some real things that I feel like, hey, if AJ Preller has been our, you know, president of baseball operations GM for a long time, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like my point earlier where it's like, know when to fold him. It's like, you could probably, if you believe you're still going to be here next year? My biggest concern is in his head. He's like, hey, if we miss the playoffs, I'm going to get canned, right? So I got to figure out a way to make the playoffs. That's my biggest concern, to be completely honest, with the new ownership. So I just feel like for the longevity of the franchise and to extend the window, there's some moves to be made, including selling off pieces that could actually help the team out in the long term.
If there's one thing, this is an aside a little bit, but also you mentioned it a couple of times. So if I could like address this,
yeah.
If there's one thing I'm confident in, it's that AJ Preller does not do anything to save his job. How much money do you think that guy spent? Like, that guy's making $2.5 million a year and buying like some sweatpants, like probably, you know, buying his nephews some nice, some nice outfits, taking out some of those girls. That's fine. That's great. AJ Preller is like one of the most confident people I've ever met and knows that he's going to get a job somewhere else. You don't think there's another owner who's not going to be like, hey, I'll take that ride on that. You know, see what that could do for me. Get my fan base excited about all these crazy moves this guy's going to make. Like, so you might say AJ sucks and then we could have a talk about that. Not you, Matt, but like someone. Not you. I'm saying someone, right. But I'm not to say that he is doing anything to save his job. Like, he loves the Padres. I think he loves San Diego, but like AJ knows he's going to be okay.
I would just want to make the point that I think what Matt is saying, and even maybe Kevin to some extent, I agree with the overall sentiment that there, you got to know when you need to turn over the next version of the San Diego Padres. And all of a sudden, if you don't recognize that, it's like, if you don't know, like, who's the fool at the poker table, it's you. Like, yeah, it's true. You have to have an awareness of your organization. But I just want to say, from like a fandom / entertainment / media perspective, I much prefer them chasing every single thing down. Even the Tatis trade, to your point, brilliant trade. Guy was one of the best young players. I mean, the guy was unbelievable when he came up. But I mean, they acquired him as a kid. It took him 3 years, even at his rate, his superstardom rate, to reach the major leagues. I'm not personally very interested right now in here and now the 2029 version of the Padres. Now, I don't want to see them go 55-107 when it gets here. Like, nobody wants to see that. But I'm so vested in them at the major league level because they've been good at the major league level. They've marketed themselves well. They've spent well. I'm almost, maybe this is more on me. It's like, I see the Padres as like a Yankee, Red Sox, Dodger light, where I want to see them go down those paths where they're constantly trying to win at the major league level. Maybe that's not reasonable. It can't be done in San Diego like it's done in New York or LA. But damn, I'd rather go down trying than watch them turn the major league team over for a bunch of single A players that are going to be good in 2029. We were sold that bill of goods, dude, in the 2010s. Well, I got here 10, 11 years ago. I'm told about this best system in baseball every single year. The teams that were on the field, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to see that four-year process play out again. I'd rather them go about it this way, even if it's flawed, and try to win 87 games every year.
Well, they're not going to do that because they have these big contracts, right? Like you know, they're stuck with trying to chase at this point, for lack of a better way to phrase it. They're stuck with trying to win every year, plus to try to keep the 3 million people coming and buying those tickets and all that. So I think you're pretty safe there. But I think I honestly do, as much as like I've like pushed back, like, I think Matt's got a lot of good points, and I am fascinated at how the fan base is going to react around the trade deadline.
I think that this team feels a little old and stale, to be completely honest. And so that is my argument, is like, hey, if we could try to sell off a few pieces and get some high level, you know, AAA or like in the barely hitting the majors type guys, and maybe one or two hits for, you know, half a season of Adrian Morihone or half a season. I'm not saying these guys are going to end up being, you know, future all-stars, but if you could be a valuable piece in the lineup for a couple years, a la early Jake Cronenworth vibes, that would be fun.
Like that.
Like, do I hate that? Like, kind of love it. Like, I think the team has these quote unquote statue contracts where there's a true argument that pretty much every single one was a bad contract. Maybe Tatis, you could make an argument for. Manny's second extension, terrible. Sander Bogart's contract, terrible. Joe Musgrove's contract, terrible. Yu Darvish's contract, terrible. So it's like every contract we've given out that's the quote-unquote statue contracts have been bad. So the only way you can get around that is by finding the Gavin Sheets to Ty Francis, which are great stories, but they're also on the wrong side of 30. So I would like to find those type players with a little bit more control so then we can go and spend money on a starting pitcher that, you know, that's coming out on the market. It's like, because if we can't develop starting pitching, that's where all of our money should go. And we haven't shown that we could develop starting pitching. So every ounce of Kwanzaa Jones in Jose E. Feliciano's pockets should go to starting pitching because our contracts, a la Manny, Tatis, Merrill, are stuck in that lineup for a decade. So it's filling out the rest. Yeah,
they haven't even had
the money on that rotation. Then we could be good. Because imagine how much better this team would be if we had four major league quality pitchers, a la healthy Yu Darvish, healthy Joe Musgrove, healthy Nick Pivetta, Michael King, and Walker Buehler. That's a World Series contender, 100%. Unfortunately, we don't have that, so we have to be smart. Like, I just want this organization for once to take a deep breath and just be smart.
Yeah.
Let's get to the supers. Guys, subscribe and thank you for the super chats. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. Kevin's going to kill us. It's late, by the way.
Yeah, in thanks,
Chicago. Padres Payne, thank you, man, for getting us started here tonight. Actually, before the show started, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for hanging out if you're still here. It says all those folks that said 2-1 wins are annoying and they'd rather have a 9-7 loss with power. Here you go. I don't see the appeal. It's my San Diego State football argument under Brady Hoke or Rocky Long. I'd prefer they go 10-2 than 3-9, but score 37 points. I tend to agree. Did I love the way it looked under Shilton, 24-25, bunting in the first inning at Coors Field last year in September to move a runner and score him? No, but end result's the end result.
I think Padres Payne is kind of rephrasing what you said earlier a little bit, right? Like that we were talking didn't like early in the season, I think you're referring to, John, yeah. And like, you know, but you'll take that. By the way, maybe I was just bracing myself for the fans' input here, but I thought the F word he used there was different. I didn't think it was all those folks. I thought it was a different word. Oh man, we're getting off to a crazy start here. I totally appreciate what Matt said. Like, you appreciated tonight's win for the fight that they came back.
I loved it.
You would have been much more fired up if JP Sears could have given you 7 shutouts.
100%. Yeah. This is a great comment. And John, I know you've brought it up multiple times on the show. Yeah. You know what's funny is I forgot what it felt like to have a loss like this where we actually hit because we never really hit in these losses. So now that I actually got to experience it, I agree with John. I'd much rather win than it. But it was a little nice to see Tatis almost double his home runs in one game.
It was. Kate, thank you, man, for the super chat. Kate says, send
there's nothing like watching a ball leave a ballpark either. And I watched two of them tonight.
You saw a lot of those for the Cubs, too. Kate says, send the starting rotation to the moon with Randy V as the pilot. Saquon Padre's got to push all the chips in next year. Then the window is closed. Wouldn't it be weird, real quick on that? Isn't it weird? To Matt's point, I agree. It's like at some point you got to know when to turn the thing over. But let's say you acquire the next youthful group that has a potential to, you know, lead you into the next era. You're still pairing them with these immovable contracts.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be odd to potentially have 2, 3, 4, 5 impact pieces in their early 20s or even younger, along with 36-year-olds and 37-year-olds that presumably will be here at that age. Maybe they won't be here at 39 and 40.
I'm convinced one of them's gone, if not both, in some way, shape, or form.
I agree.
You can't.
I agree.
And that's educated speculation on my part in that I talk to people and no one has said, oh, yeah, we're doing this. But, like, they've entertained the notion and gone over the scenarios of how would that look. And I'm not saying it's going to happen this off season. Right. You know, we might need to get a few or one or two away, got the labor stuff, but I'm absolutely convinced because your point is correct. But like, I don't think those guys are going to be here.
Couldn't agree more. Xander's gone by 2029.
By 2029. That's probably,
I mean, there's going to be a lot of money eaten.
Hey, eat it up.
But you know, I'll also have to consider what you're putting on the field, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like you don't. It's one thing to give out a bad contract. It's another thing to let that bad contract, you know, beat you, so to speak. Like you're playing players just because, and that's how baseball works. I mean, you're paying players a lot, therefore they will play. But if they're not helping you win, it's like, yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a Sophie's choice. Say hello to your sister. Thank you for the super chat saying, Kevin, why haven't we pulled the trigger? He's putting you as the GM maybe. Why haven't we pulled the trigger on getting a starter or two now? We might be 7 games or worse below 500 at the deadline. Okay, so ask the question, why haven't the Padres done it already? Even though it
only
is early.
In the last few days have I been like, yeah, why haven't you just gotten whatever saucy dude you can get right now? Because that's all you're getting, right? You're not making your rotation appreciably better right now because the sellers aren't out there, right? Like the sellers are going to wait until the real buyers are out there. And that's going to be after the All-Star game and the draft and some other teams fall off. So you're not making your team in any way, and especially starting pitching, better right now. That's the explanation that I've gotten. It's the same explanation as basically every year. But yeah, like, isn't there someone that can give you 5 innings out there? But then, you know, you have to make that trade, right? Like, I don't know. Yeah, in the last couple of days, I've been asking the same question. Up to that point, I've been very confident in my reporting that has said, look, you're not getting anyone at this point in the game, especially with the way that it's situated after the draft now. I know it might be kind of weird. Like, it's hard for me to get my arms around. You mean these guys can't focus on two things? No, not to the extent it really takes to focus on the draft and get it right and the trade deadline and get it right. So they're talking about trades now, but not in any substantive way because we don't know who's giving up what or really who really, really wants something. But yeah, I get the question. They need some guys that can give them some innings.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't know who's going to be available, at least until the end of the deadline. Hopefully it's not too late.
Yeah, that is a good point. I mean, maybe it will be too late if they wait it out. It King Panda, thank you for the super. He says, me sad. Padres are breaking my heart.
I'll take that. Better than a lot of the missives I get. I'll take that. Yeah, I get that. I got to watch him every day. And it's 108 degrees is what it – honestly, that's the heat index here. 108 degrees.
Yeah, I mean
– sorry, I just want to throw that out there.
I just want to have more fun watching them, man.
Yeah, it's a tough
one. That's
watch.
Why I think I honestly think that's why I enjoyed today's game a little bit more than
I
recent.
Totally get it.
Was just because it was fun to see Tatis and some homers. It's fun to see Gavin get a hold of one. You know, Wandy got out of some jams. It was like that was like a fun game. Like obviously we lost, but it's like I just want to see the team like play loose, play fun. Like it's baseball supposed to be fun. Like obviously we do these shows and can get heated and the chat gets angry and everything like that. But it's like at the end of the day, it's entertainment. We're all just trying to have a good time. So, you know, it was a little bit more fun today than it had been recently.
They need to trail 9-3 more often, man. They look great.
Maybe not that. Maybe they could be up 9-3.
Say hello to your sister again. Thank you, man. He says, Kevin, what's the real reason we don't have the new ownership yet or the new owners yet? Something smells fishy to me,
well,
he says.
I get that. It's what I said at the beginning, but it's more than I thought. Like, you have guys, you have primary owners, Feliciano Jones, who bought not a majority. They didn't even know really how much because they don't know how much some of the current owners are going to sell, how many new owners are going to come in. They're having a difficult time having people come on at this valuation. Like, and they knew they were going to. Like, they were fairly upfront about that it was going to take some time to get this ownership group together, and it's just taking longer. So I don't know if fishy is the right word, but like the sentiment of your question, yeah, I get it. I'm not concerned. I'm monitoring the situation because, yeah, it hasn't come together. Now, I think there was some bad reporting out there that said they were going to vote on it at the beginning of June, which is what we thought at the beginning of the process, but it became apparent right away, and I was writing that it wasn't going to happen until end of June or July. And so We get much more of a delay, and we're going to have to start talking about this, guys. But, like, it was from the beginning they were saying that it was going to take midsummer.
He bought the team when they were 19-9. He's watched he watched a couple of these games. He's like, man, that's a pretty. He looks at his Amex statement. He's like, that's a pretty heavy payment, bro. I might have to call it back. You know, Kwanzaa's like,
as far as I know, he's only been the losses.
I don't know, man. You watch enough of these Xander Bogaerts at bats. She's like, 8 more years.
Oh my lord, Captain Coke. Thank you for the super. Captain Cook says it's over. Time to be realistic. Let's be honest. I disagree. I mean, as clear as day, I disagree. I don't think it's over. I mean, I do this each and every day. I have a vested interest in it not being over, maybe. But I also have watched baseball my entire life. I don't think this thing is – I don't think it's 2021. I don't think they're closing 10-40 or whatever they did in 2021. But I could be wrong. Doesn't mean I'm right. I think it's way too early to say it's over with 78 games to play.
I agree with that.
First off, you're nimble enough, clever enough, good enough at your job. You could pivot to just ripping the crap out of them every day.
Well,
so if it's over, you'll know when it's time to do that. So it's like, yeah, you got a vested interest, yada yada. But you know what? Like, I survived 21 and 23 myself, and those were brutal. If that's what this becomes, I hope without the drama, those were terrible. But like, I don't think it's over either, but I mean, we've talked, the whole show has been basically us saying
it over
that we understand the sentiment of thinking it's over.
I want to see Tatis punch Machado.
No.
I agree
with both of you, man. And honestly, I do have a rooted interest in these guys for it not being over, right? This until we're really out of it, we're two games back right now. There's a lot of red flags, but you know, you have a couple good weeks. Obviously, me and John did this show last week and the vibes were a lot higher. So it's like outside of a few, you know, we probably could have won yesterday. And I think we could have beat that Dodgers in that last game of the series. The other two games, like today, I thought we, you know, got beat in that one game where the Dodgers just kicked our ass. You know, other than that, it's like, okay, I could see an argument. We need a lot better starting pitching, and we need our guys to stay hot and a couple of dudes like Merrill to get hot ASAP.
All right, let's get to a few supers here. We're running up against it, but let's get to him. Say hello to your sister. Thank you. He says, why isn't Niebla getting more heat? Does he have that much credit in the bank from past seasons? But it's like, who's on his staff? Like, who's in his rotation? You can't put that all on Ruben Niebla.
The answer is yes, but that's not the only reason he's not getting heat, right? Like, but that shows he knows what he's doing. And then, like, he's making a little bit of magic there. You know what I mean? What about Walker Buehler? Like,
that's a great point.
Ruben Niebla gets a lot of credit there for Walker Buehler. I'll ask questions. I think, you know, I get it. I find this one funny that, like, it's definitely Steven Souza Jr., but no way could it be Ruben Niebla.
Yeah.
Now, look, you know, but yeah, Ruben does have a lot of credit in the past for good reason.
Yeah. You take enough lottery tickets, right? There's a reason why it's called a lottery ticket. You know, sometimes you could be the smartest. You can go to the exact 7-Eleven that you know has the best lottery tickets, and you can do everything. It's like, at the end of the day, it's a lottery ticket. So Lucas Giolito throwing 90 miles per hour. I don't care if you're the best pitching coach of all time. If he can't throw strikes and he throws 90 with bad movement, it's like you're not going to fix, you know, crap, to be completely honest, right? You're not. Maybe you can make it look a little bit different, but like in reality, at the end of the day, it's still crap.
Yeah, and these are true lottery tickets. I mean, they paid for Lugo. They paid even more for Waka.
100%.
I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, Ruben did a great job by all accounts. Those pitchers' accounts, other people's accounts. Those guys did great. Obviously, it's the guys pitching that did it. But, like, these other guys that have stepped up in the rotation before, Padres paid for them, too. I mean, look, they paid for Nick Pavetta's year last year. Even though they only paid him $2 million last year, they're paying him $19
million
this year.
Yeah, so. I mean, yeah, you pay for – yeah, I agree. There hasn't really been a lot of pitchers outside – like, until I see a pitcher who we actually spend a real amount of money on get worse, I don't think Ruben's the issue. It's like, hey, you're paying these guys $1 million, $2 million, and you're hoping that they can give you some innings, right?
I mean, he's having success with the bullpen. He's having success.
I mean, look at Yuki Matsui. Yuki Matsui has 1.1 WAR. He's been incredible.
Like, give him Tarek Skubal. I bet he'll become a better pitching coach. You know, give Mason Miller. I bet he's a better pitching coach.
You think we could trade Yuki?
Kyle Schwarber.
I think the time to strike is right now on a couple of these dudes. Wandy and Yuki, get them out of here. They're having a great season. More power to you. Bring up a Kyle Hart and give you big innings. This is the time.
Dane, thank you for saying, thanks for staying up. Kev, great show, Collective. We appreciate you saying that. Our buddy at Par Threes Club has chimed in. Thank you, man, for the generous super. He says, I had to focus on the Mexico game for my sanity. Also, how come there weren't any Padres posts of Tatis having two homers in one game? I'm not sure if that's from the Padres account or not. Please extend Morrone. I love his energy coming out of the bullpen. Thank you, boys. What about that other side of moving Morrone, even if it doesn't go well? Do you really want to part ways with such an important piece in your bullpen? Because, for example, Mason Miller wouldn't go anywhere if this team goes south. So why should Adrian Morrone? Is the money?
Don't rule out Mason Miller. I don't think Mason Miller's going anywhere. I don't want to start anything, but don't rule it out. I mean, like, Preller, you got to remember, Preller's Preller, right? But I don't, Mason Miller's not going anywhere. Morrone is a free agent coming up. And, you know, they want to keep him, sure. But, you know, there's teams going to be tripping over themselves for Adrian Morrone.
I absolutely love Adrian Morrone. Love honestly, him. my next Padres jersey will probably be an Adrian Morrone jersey. He is.
Well, wait on probably, that.
I mean, honestly,
he wants to have it as a tribute for when he's gone.
Unfortunately, I know, right? I might need to get it soon. He is the man, and he's going to get paid a lot of money. Obviously, I would love him to just be a 1-2 punch with Mason for the next 5 years. But probably not 5 decades, crazy. 5 years. But he's probably not going to, unless an unforeseen thing happens. A team like the Pirates, a team that's trying to compete, is going to spend a lot of money on him, like 14 million a year for 5 years. Like, he's going to get racked out.
Yeah. It's going to be sad. It's going to be sad. First off, he's a great guy. I'm
100%
telling you, a great guy. And all that he's been through, how much everyone in that organization loves this guy, how much he's matured. Honestly, like one of my favorite Padres that I've ever covered. Hmm. It's going to suck when he leaves. But the reality is, and I don't want to extend this much longer. I got a newsletter to write here. But Matt, you have been spot on, and it's the real crime of the big contracts that haven't worked out is they've had to go nickel and dime their rotation. So at some point, you have to say, what are we doing? And I'm telling you, Adrian Morrone, not closer money like established closer, not Josh Hader money, but like Adrian Morrone is going to get paid. And I don't think the Padres can afford it.
As you should.
It sucks when you have a huge payroll and you can't pay the right guys. It sucks.
Let's see here. James, thank you. Says Chris Paddock reunion. He was DFA'd by the Rangers. He's also been awful.
He was here in the bullpen for, I'm sorry, who was it? This season's kind of foggy for me just recently, and they didn't even use him and they were getting blown out. Like, I mean, anyway, love me the sheriff, love the sheriff. If you're a media member, you love the sheriff. He'll say anything. No, absolutely not. There's a reason
I'm good on that. I'm good on the sheriff.
And then final super of the night from Where You At Productions. Thank you, Matt. He says, if this team doesn't make the playoffs, who do you think will take the fall? Stammen, Souza, AJ, or do you think they clean house, or do they stand pat?
Well, certainly difficult to say because of the change in ownership, right? But I don't think AJ. I don't think Craig. I'm not a hitting coach who did anything more than rent for this team. And the fact is, while I will defend him to a certain extent, the offense has gotten worse. So.
Who takes the hit or who takes the fall? The fan base. I would say we are taking the fall right now. Overall, I mean, Souza's probably gone, right? What's that guy done? And then maybe they'll run it back. It also depends, right? It's like, hey, is it Craig Stammen's fault that he's pitching JP Sears? If you're pitching a guy that gives up 6 earned in 3 1/3, like, I don't care if you're Bobby Cox, like, you're not going to get the job done. So has Craig done a great job at instilling, you know, the smartest baseball team that's ever played? Probably not. But I don't think you just fire Craig Stammen. Like, I don't think he's been the issue necessarily. I think, you know, the main players haven't been performing and our rotation kind of sucks.
Yes. Now, listen, that, like, let's say that there were some things that came up and like, oh no, we find out, like, you know, Jace Tingler and you know, who really lost out because of the starting rotation, right? But they're also, he shouldn't have had the job. I think Jace Tingler is going to be a fine manager one day. He shouldn't have had the job then. There were issues. He got fired, right? Okay, let's say we find out, oh no, Craig really didn't have the clubhouse. Let's say that things really go crazy. Well, you know who else then has to take the fall at that point? AJ Preller.
No.
Because you can't hire a freaking manager.
Kevin, like, the 10th manager is going to be the one. Trust me.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Like, so all I'm saying is, I'm not saying those things are going to happen. I'm saying that at some point, if you're going to say Craig should take the ball, like, one of the main jobs of AJ Preller is to hire a manager. And I have been able to see behind the scenes and say that, like, you know, like, some reasons why some things have happened. We know the Bob Melvin thing, yada, yada, all this. And AJ has done such a good job at some other things. But at some point, he's got to figure out this hiring thing. So if Craig Stammen's the problem, don't we have to also then look behind the curtain at Oz?
I want to see AJ in uniform manage the club.
AJ needs to write a book on how to keep your job through all these, man, these contracts and your decisions. And we're like, oh, we can never let him go. It's like, man, that guy has some sort of sauce, man. It's pretty impressive, to be completely honest. Like, if he wrote a book,
his book would be called Keep Trading.
Yeah, his book would also be How to Become the GM of the New York Yankees, because if he loses his job, he'll be hired the next day by probably a more prominent franchise than San Diego. Par Threes Club, thank you, man. Final super of the night, says Kevin. I don't know if you caught it, but Michael King shouted you out during his live interview with Don and Mudd. Have you heard that?
Let's go.
No.
Oh, you need to go back and watch that.
Mike King seems like he's a good egg, as Mudcat would say. Good egg.
He is absolutely fantastic. Like, I have to take a step back and go, okay, so, like, I got to write that he's going crap. But, like, I also have this faith because of the human being that he is, that, like, I'm not saying it's not important to other guys, and a guy can be a jerk or non-communicative or whatever and still care. But, like, Michael King's care factor is so immense that I just have this belief that he's going to turn it around, right?
Love it.
Like, I just do. But am I right? I don't know. I mean, I thought he was going to pitch really well against the Dodgers, like, last time. But, like, Michael King is one of the great human beings that I've, like, ever covered.
Yeah, you could tell. He seems like a really good dude. I always like to call it the Hosmer versus Myers scenario, right? Everybody looks at Eric Hosmer and everybody's like, man, what an asshole. That guy sucked. He was such a terrible contract. Will Myers was not a great contract for the Padres, but he was buying people shots in 2022 at that bar. Everybody loved White Queso. White Queso is back with the organization. Everyone's like, oh, I love Will Myers. People have Will Myers jerseys. No one's rocking a Hosmer jersey at the game. What is it? It's how you treat the fans. It's how active you are. It's showing up to those, you know, Rady's Children's Hospital events. It's little things like that that guys like Michael King do that goes a long way off the field, 100%.
Just do not allow Will Myers to be the next hitting coach of the Padres. Otherwise, he will never be liked again in this city. All right, guys, let's do this again next week. Kevin, safe travels this week. Again, Padres and Cubs wrapping this thing up pretty quickly in Chicago on Wednesday afternoon. And we'll be back with you next week. If you are new to the channel, please do subscribe. We'll be with you each and every week here on The Collective. Actually, guys, and Kevin, you can run. But real quick, because we haven't gotten to this, we do need to thank our friends at SeatGeek. Guys, can't wait until this summer. My wife and I are heading to a concert right here in San Diego at Petco Park to see one of our favorite artists, Noah Kahan, and you can as well. Thanks to our friends at SeatGeek. Couldn't be simpler or easier. You get to their app, you find your tickets, and then you use our promo code. And you can get in, and you can do so at a pretty good price with our friends at SeatGeek, the number one rated ticketing app, over 70,000 events, whether it's concerts in Southern California or elsewhere, sporting events, maybe you want to see the Padres, or potentially you want to go to a World Cup match this summer. You can do it with our friends at SeatGeek. And if you use our promo code, you're getting 10% off. So we've hooked you guys up. You can use code COLLECTIVE10 for 10% off your next set of tickets at SeatGeek. That's 10% off any tickets with promo code COLLECTIVE10. Click the link in the description down below. Maybe I'll see you this summer at Petco Park at the Noah Kahn concert. Thanks to our friends at SeatGeek. Use that promo code. Kevin Bale. Yeah, Kevin later, literally Kev. Is gone. And the final super of the night from Damn It Williams.
Hey, Mexico versus United States, baby. Hey, make World Cup final. That would make me a happy boy. So yeah,
Team Mexico into the round of 16.
Yeah, you have a good time in that game?
Oh, dude. I went to Monterey. Your bachelor party. It was insane.
So sick.
I mean, have you seen the views from Monterey? You've seen these.
I've seen not in person, obviously, but I've seen
some of the social media. Awesome. Just ridiculous. All right, let's get into Kawhi and LeBron. No, okay, we'll be back with you next week here on the Padres Collective, presented by Prize Picks for Kevin. I don't even know where. We need to end this. Who knows what Kevin's doing right now?
A little midnight snack.
For Kevin AC and Matt Devine, I'm John Schaefer. This has been The Collective. We'll see you next week. Thanks, guys.
Hey guys.